Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all the best people I know, and that would be you. So when you're looking in the mirror, just say how awesome you are, because you are appreciated. Can't have a show without you, and thank you so much for putting us in the top 1 and 2% in so many different show categories. I am overwhelmed and humbled and so grateful, and it's a lot of fun being here with you and bringing you these amazing guests like today with Betsy Otter Thompson, talking about walking through illusion. Don't we all need that? So this is going to be a lot of fun. Get ready, bring a friend, and thank you so much. Before I read Betsy's bio and bring her on the line, I just want to remind you that this is a free service to you, but we can only keep going and growing with your support. So if you mark us as a favorite, be sure to follow us. And if you go to my website, greenskyandbluegrass.com, greenskyandbluegrass.com, you'll see a little on the right-hand side in a nice green box, you'll see a monthly motivational newsletter sign up. And in that, once a month, you'll get a list of all the great guests we have coming on the show. Frequently we add shows in addition to Tuesdays and Thursdays, so be sure to get that so that you have choices. Choices are always a good thing. Love choices. Well, today, this is really a very, very fascinating topic that Betsy's going to share with us today, and I know it's going to touch a lot of you who really want to dump the junk, clear out the clutter and all that good stuff, because Betsy Thompson has walked through many illusions to arrive at her peace and purpose. Her newest book, Walking Through Illusion, is about the beauty within each of us, taking responsibility for our lives and creating an effect rather than being at the effect. The message of Walking Through Illusion reassures us that we don't take our beliefs with us when we leave here. We take the love we found from having them. Isn't that wonderful? Betsy's work has always gravitated towards the media. A Philadelphia native with a BFA from the University of Pennsylvania, Betsy worked as an account executive for WFIL Radio in Philadelphia, and then after that WPEN, and then WFLN. She became a commercial and print model, and you can see her beautiful face there on the movie screen there on the BTR page. And she was acted in TV commercials, and she was a print model in New York City in 87 to 99. And then she went on to work in Los Angeles at a motion picture company that I'm sure most of you will know, Castle Rock Entertainment. She was assistant to the CEO, and then in 99, her boss went to Warner Brothers, and she continued to follow him where he was president and CEO as well. So she's had a lot of contact with Hollywood. And she stayed there until she retired in 05, and now she's not retired doing nothing. She is full-time sharing her wisdom and knowledge. She's writing full-time. And it is wonderful to be able to tell you that her website, www.betsythompson.com, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N.com, is where you can connect with Betsy, learn more about her. And it's a wonderful pleasure to have Betsy with us today to talk about walking through illusion. Hi, Betsy. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for that lovely introduction. I'm delighted to be here, and thank you so much.
Well, you have a lot. You have a wonderful. I'm telling you, you have a bigger bio than that. But we can only use 2,000 characters or less. So we have to. You know, we're kind of limited on that. And you know, I think I think that this is really, I know you've written a number of books, but I think that this is really going to touch a lot of people because, you know, there's a lot of things that we're bombarded with, and there's a lot of counterfeit happiness that people are buying and wondering why they're still feeling unsatisfied. You know, they're buying something that they think is going to feed them, and then they find out that they're starving. And, you know, this really talks about authenticity and how to live that life that we desire. And walking through those illusions is how we have to journey to get there. But I think the other part that makes it fascinating is, you know, by most people's standards, you were the print model, the perfect face, the perfect figure. You know, you're in Hollywood. You're with movie stars. You're in the media entertainment. So I think that you have a perspective that most of us don't have. Do you think that this maybe inspired you because you've seen so much of that illusion that we all seem to want to buy to help you be motivated to write this book?
Well, I certainly think that I got an education about that from being in that area, but I can't say that I was in a job where I was hobnobbing with movie stars, and not at all. I mean, I was behind the scenes working for an executive, and I saw them walk through. But, I mean, I read the newspapers like everybody, and I know that, I mean, all this work is about thinking that if you think that the picture or the illusion is the prize, you're going to feel disillusioned over and over, because this is an emotional journey, and this is what walking through illusion is really all about, and that we come to this into this illusion with our souls in a body that is illusionary too, and to find what is real, which is the love in our hearts. And anytime you think that what is illusionary is real, you're going to be disappointed, because anything that could be here today and gone tomorrow is illusionary. And if you put your faith in that, you're going to be living heartache over and over and over again. So this is the challenge we've all assumed coming here into this game called humanist, to come here to enjoy the illusion, not to think it's the prize, but to enjoy it, and to remember what's real about ourselves and to expand our hearts. And that's what this book is all about, how people 2,000 years ago were doing the same thing and realizing that the journey, it doesn't matter when in history you decide to come into this game of humanness, the challenge is always the same, to remember who we are, to take responsibility for our journey and to enjoy it, and to allow everyone else to have the ideas they need so they can come and enjoy this journey too. And I love that you repeated that phrase about we don't take our beliefs with us when we leave here. We take the love we found from having them, because that's the whole basis of my philosophy in that we are here to expand our hearts, and we have what works for us and other people have what works for them. And who are we to say that something shouldn't work for someone? We don't know that. Everyone knows what works for them. And so it's about letting go, releasing, and doing what is right for you.
You know, you really answered so many questions. You just answered a lot of questions I had for you there, Betsy. You know, talking about what the title means and what walking through illusion is as a definition. But, you know, that really is amazing how you touched a nerve for me, and I'm sure for a lot of people listening. You know, we really, everything is an illusion. You know, even our bodies. I mean, think about what we look like, or the weight, or the age, you know, that we are, whatever it is. I mean, even our bodies don't stay the same as we age. And, you know, the other part that even the shell that we're in, you know, the body, the part that our soul is in this travel vehicle, I don't know, that we go through in the short time we're here. You know, even that isn't permanent. Money isn't permanent. Looks aren't permanent. Even health. You know, we really, really the illusion that we have any control at all is insane, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because the illusion changes to reflect your growth. So whatever is happening with you emotionally, the picture is around to help you, to reflect back to you as a gift to you, to show you, to tell you what's going on in your life. You know, everybody who you face, they are an emotional reflection of you. If you face somebody and you don't like what you're seeing, it doesn't have anything to do with the other person changing. It's about looking within and saying, what do I need changed within so that I create a different mirror if I don't like the mirror I have? Because we live in a world of reflective energy. We live in a world that is completely balanced. The cosmos shows us. It stays in balance constantly. energetically, it's reflecting back to us how our lives work. And if that cosmos gets unbalanced, everything shifts to rebalance it so that it does stay in balance. And we are in balance too, always, in that we always face our emotional reflections in other people. And that isn't a curse. I mean, it often feels like a curse, but it isn't a curse. It's really a great gift to us that we give to ourselves to come here to see, you know, what our progress is on a moment-to-moment basis. And we always have, I tell people, you always have your guidance, because whatever you put out into the universe is sending back to you, not because the universe is cruel, but because the universe thinks we want whatever we give to others.
Right. And the other part that I was fascinated by, and we're going to talk more about how each chapter in the book is really a book in itself. It's not a book that you really have to pick up and just have a start to finish plan with. It's something that you can almost at least for me anyway, you can almost pick up a chapter and just work on that one topic. But I'll read for the people listening the names of and the titles of each chapter, because I think they're just terrific. But, you know, getting back to that idea that there really is a common thread, no matter if someone, you're reading a story about these biblical characters that you have here in talking about this particular book, or if you're reading Shakespeare, you know, all of these things through the ages have lasted with a message because they're relevant, because the human condition is on that quest for the same thing, the purpose, the peace, the happiness. I mean, we all have that in common, whether we were born, you know, into this era where all of us are together right now, or it was somebody 2,000 years ago, or 1,000 years ago, or 400 years ago. You know, there are certain character traits that you can identify with, and I think that's why it makes it so relevant. You know, what you've done here to segue and connect and make a really nice bridge. Because how can you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been? And I think the idea that you can learn from others is really something that's powerful throughout the book to open that awareness. So, you know, towards that end, I'm just wondering if you could share, you know, why did you pick these biblical characters, and why did you use this method to discuss the message in Walking Through Illusion?
Well, when I started to acknowledge this gift when I was in California, I was in a very bad way, a very poor, and I was living in a one-room apartment that was roach-infested, and I had spent most of my life blaming everyone else for my problems, and so I had come to this place where that certainly hadn't led me to any answers. It just had attracted back to me a lot of people who were ready to blame me for their problems. And I was sort of at the bottom, you know. I was pimping to try to survive, and I wasn't making ends meet. And I had discovered that I knew that I had this gift when I was 4 or 5 years old, but my sister reacted so badly to what I was doing. My mother had, she had a grandmother she really loved, and she kept telling me over and over how much I looked like this woman, and so I decided to see if I was like her in other ways and started talking to her at night. And nobody told me that I didn't tell anybody I was going to do this, so nobody told me I couldn't do it. And I thought it was like, you know, if I do this, then everybody must be able to do this. And so I told my sister what I was doing and asked her who she spoke to. That was my first indication of how the rest of the world was going to view this gift. But I let go of it, and I didn't. But when I was in California and I reached the bottom, I just sort of said, well, if I, you know, I got involved in the Course in Miracles, and the message the Course told me was that it was about taking responsibility for my life and for where I was. And I said, well, if I have to take responsibility, and if I do take responsibility, then I should start taking responsibility for everything, which included the gift that I have. And so I sort of said a prayer one night that I was willing to ask the questions and hear the answers, but I needed a job to support me while I did it. And 3 weeks later, I had the job at Castle Rock, and I worked for the same man for the next 18 years, which supported me while I wrote all my books. So it's almost as if the universe, you know, said to me, okay, if you're ready, we're ready, and here we go. And it's been that way ever since. It's been the second half of my life has been all about taking responsibility, and it's been so crucial, because once you say, okay, I got myself into this mess. You say, well, if I got myself into this mess, then I can jolly well get myself out of this mess. And which is, it's a whole, it's like a shift in thinking. It's a different perception. It's seeing things differently. And that's been the turnaround, and that's what's happened ever since. And so this is, you know, this journey, and the job, of course, was perfect because you can't work for someone who's the head of a company without taking responsibility. So I got reminded every day what my mission was now about turning things around and not blaming anyone else for for where I found myself and where I ended up. And so it's been an interesting journey, and it's been full of a lot of vivid mirrors to help me recognize myself. And it still is. We all have that reminder once in a while of when we've gotten off track. And those beautiful gifts are always right in front of us, and it's up to us to recognize them and transform them so that we move on to something we prefer.
Mm. And, you know, who doesn't want to be happy? I mean, you know, come on, we all want to feel peace. I mean, there's nothing like having peace and feeling like no matter what's happened in life, it's a gift, it's a lesson, there can be a miracle in every mess. I mean, that just feels good even when I say it, you know? I mean, who doesn't want that? But, you know, using the knowledge to be able to transform those bad things into good things and learning those lessons and taking responsibility, as you say, you know, that's not something that everybody can speak that language. But in learning the new language, I think that it helps us to be able to get excited about, wow, you know, if I could change my thinking and my perception in this area and get a result of feeling better and being empowered and excited, you know, what else is around the corner for me? And I think there's a lot of hope, you know, reading the pages that you have in the book. I just want to share with people listening a couple of the things, because there's really 23 different lessons and topics that I think, you know, everybody's going to see themselves somewhere in this book. There's no doubt about it. But just to give you a flavor, one is reform, gifts, obstacles, morality, nourishment, beliefs, opinions. Who doesn't have one of those? Approval, fairness, curiosity, truth, advice, complaints, acceptance, hearts, handicaps. That was an interesting one. Betrayal, identities, hatred, memories, confusion, death, and time. And there's a lot of, you know, notes and things that you have in there. But fascinating discussions, because each chapter, you know, it has a worksheet, it has questions to ponder, has some, you know, lessons to work through. And there's really a dialogue as if we were going back in time with you 2,000 years ago and having an interview, you know, with the discussion of these biblical characters for today's person reading. So it really isn't a religious book. It's more of a spiritual book in that sense, even though you use the method that you use. But I love the lessons, and I love the questions in the beginning and the end and the worksheets. So why don't you just share some of your favorite chapters, because I know I had mine, but some of the different lessons and maybe some of the comments that readers have had about some of your favorites or their favorites, and what we can expect as we really embark into this journey with you.
Well, you know, I have to say, when I was writing the book, and this is what happens to me with all my work, I always think the chapter that I'm working on is the best one I've ever written, because that's the one that's answering all my questions. And so, you know, after I finished that chapter, I said, I don't think I'll ever do another chapter that's as good as that. And then, of course, I started the next one, and that is answering my questions. And so, you know, I can't really take credit. I mean, I feel like I am the vehicle for this book, that I am the person who I'm opened my heart to allow Spirit to speak through me. So before this book started, I had no idea what it was going to be about and who was going to be included. And some of the people who are included are in the Bible. They're the people who are around Jesus. And some of them are people that we've never heard of, like the soldier when he was on the way to the crucifixion. And it's not a religious book, as you said. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It's about people who lived long before Christianity was began. In fact, if you asked Jesus what Christianity was, he wouldn't have known what you were talking about. So it's really for people of any faith or no faith, just to, who are more interested in understanding their about their spiritual journey. And so the people that, that came up, I mean, if I had to give you a chapter about, you know, what was more important to me, maybe now I would think, well, the idea of fairness is really, you know, people get caught up in the idea of fair. Why do things seem so unfair to us? But if you are thinking that the illusion is what has to be fair, then you're going to be disillusioned all the time, because the picture is simply a reflection to help us realize where we are. It isn't meant to be fair. It's only meant to be informative. And so that was like a big thing for me to hear, that, you know, to stop expecting the picture to be fair, because it's never going to be fair. I mean, we don't know what other people need to live emotionally. So how do we know, how can we say that their picture is unfair if they have chosen to come here on a journey that is going to give them that challenge? How can you say that's unfair? It's what they wanted to do. It's the journey they wanted to have. It's the people they wanted to meet for whatever reason they have. And they are, their soul knows about their journey, whether they've had, you know, 100 lifetimes before or will have 100 to come. That is that soul's concern and not our concern. Our concern is our journey and what we are living. So I was, that chapter was like really important to me, about to get out of that idea that things had to look fair. They will never look fair. They will always be reflective for us, and our journey is our journey, and someone else's journey is their journey.
And there's a lot of freedom in not doing the compare and despair thing too, as far as, hey, keep the focus on myself. You know, that old saying about the one finger pointing at you has three fingers pointing back at me. And really, when we keep the focus on ourselves and really live our life in between who we are, me and God and or universe or whoever God is for you, you know, I think that that really gives us an opportunity to not be as judgmental with other people. And the judgment and the fairness really brings up a lot of negative emotions. You talk about that. And, you know, who needs, the anger is not going to help us have the peace that we desire. So we have to let go of those things that cause us the feelings that we don't want, or it becomes another question, you know, why we want to be so mean to ourselves. But I think that that fairness is really something that we all ask about. Or betrayal. You have another chapter on betrayal. Betrayal is an act of doing in a way you'd hate to be done to, you know. And why is betrayal so painful? And some interesting things. You talk about Judas in that one. Can you share a little bit about that message? Because I think that's an important one for all of us to hear as well.
Yeah, I was surprised myself about the chapter about Judas, because I certainly had my own preconceived notions of what Judas's journey had been all about. But it is again that, I mean, with the message I heard, was that Judas didn't turn Jesus into hoping that he would be killed. He turned him in hopes that he would get out of town as fast as possible, because he knew that, or he felt that he depended on Jesus for his spiritual growth, and he didn't want Jesus to be to not be around to help him reach his spiritual growth. And so he expected Jesus to do what he would have done if the government was after him. Judas would have left town, and he expected that Jesus would do the same thing. But Jesus, by that time in his life, understood his journey and what his destiny was and what he was here to do, and so he had no intention of leaving. So, but the point of it is that you, whatever you put out there into the world, you feel, and it comes back to you like a boomerang. So as he betrayed Jesus, he really betrayed himself. And that my journey has been, there's been a lot of betrayal in my life, and I've often thought that I must have been in a past lifetime where I had betrayed others. And so this lifetime, it was about understanding exactly what that creates, and living and being the person who was betrayed, so that I understood that feeling and that would never give it again. And so I think that, you know, when we have these hard challenges when we come here, it's about that. We're learning whether we're learning it in this lifetime or we're learning it from a past lifetime, you know, the universe doesn't recognize lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. It just recognizes an emotional progress. And so we always have this cut and dry, you know, one lifetime is this, one lifetime is another, but it's just a long stream of emotion evolving. And so we pick the choices and the challenges that we think are going to work for us in terms of what we need to understand and what we need to learn. And so this is, and it's so painful because it comes back with a fuller force than it was given, like the boomerang goes out and then it comes back with more power because the universe likes to give us more than we gave, whatever it is, because the universe thinks everything is love, whatever it is. And we're the ones who interpret it this and that and the other and give it names. As to what it's supposed to be. But it really, it's just a gift to others, whether it's betrayal or love. And the universe says, well, if that's what you love, here's more of it back.
Fascinating. Well, okay, we're going to take a short break. And then when we come back, we're going to speak with you, I think, a little bit more about what's going on in the world. There really is a shift going on. I mean, people talk about this 2012, but I think that the message in your book is so relevant to the shift that we're all experiencing and seeing, and especially a lot of the listeners here. So we're going to talk more about how this book fits in with that shift when we come back in a moment.
Do you want to change your life and transform your challenges into celebrations? You can with the right guidance system. Check out Deb Scott's award-winning book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, turning your upside-down world right side up. Readers on Amazon.com give The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue 5-star rave reviews. Visit Deb at greenskyandbluegrass.com to get a copy and sign up for her free mind vitamin newsletter. Get The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue and step into your greatness today. Go to greenskyandbluegrass.com now.
Right. Well, welcome back. And we are with Betsy Thompson, who's written a number of books, but we're really talking about walking through illusion today and how this is so relevant, especially in our times, to what's happening with this universal shift. Can you speak to that? Because I know that this is something that a lot of people are talking about, and your book is really so perfect for what's going on in the world right now.
Well, this is, I know, as I believe in my philosophy, that we are, everything is reflective energy, so the earth is reflecting what is going on in our hearts, and there's been a huge shift in the emotional interest that people have in spirituality. If you, Deb, gone into bookstore, you know, Barnes & Noble 20 years ago, and asked for a New Age book, they would have looked at you like you're a little bit nuts. And today they have a huge wall that says just New Age. And so there's been an enormous interest in this subject of emotional progress and spirituality. And it is a huge shift. And the earth is shifting too. And when I asked the spirit about what was going on with the earth, with all these tsunamis and earthquakes and flooding and fires and all of it happening at the same time or very close together, the answer I got was that the earth is rebirthing just like our mentality is rebirthing, and it is reflecting, you know, it is reflective energy of what is going on in us. And it is, to understand the earth, I've heard this message over and over again, to understand the earth, we only have to understand our own bodies, because when we birth a child, we go through the process of birthing, which is labor pains that are mild and far apart at first. And as the birth approaches, the labor pains get closer together and more intense. And this is what's happening to the earth. It is approaching a rebirth, and it is going through the shift that it has to go through to rebirth, which is the same process that our bodies go through to rebirth. And it is something that we need to accept in a loving way and know that it is a positive thing, that the earth has to rebirth if it's going to stay around for us. It has to continually nourish itself and heal itself and regenerate itself in order to be constant. And we can either go along with that process or we can resist it. And if we haven't treated the earth well, it just means that the rebirthing process is going to be a little more painful because the earth has more to heal than it normally would have to heal. And so that is what's going on. And And I try to say, you know, there's a lot. There can be a lot of fear around this idea, but it isn't a fearful idea. It's simply the natural course that the Earth must take. And I believe that scientists believe it happens every 26,000 years, and it must happen, because if it didn't happen, the Earth would disintegrate, and fade away. It just has to be. It has to be maintained. It has to maintain itself, and it's programmed to self-heal. So it will do the healing whether we like it or not. And we just need to go with the flow and listen to our instincts and let them guide us, because we do have our instincts to tell us how to handle it. And if you let go of fear and let it, and remember that this is a loving process, you will hear those instincts and they will help you, and you'll know what you need to do and where you need to be. And that's what it's all about.
You know, and I think we have a lot of, towards that end, I mean, let's take an illusion. Let's take money, for example, the illusion of money. I mean, we have this little piece of paper or this coin or whatever, and we say that that has value, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have any value. It's just the value that we put on it. But I think that, I mean, globally, look what's happening with, we put on the news what's going on in Greece or our own economy, and you know there's a shift with money, isn't there? There's a shift with the exchange of finances. Did you have anything to say to that? Because it almost seems as though the way that we've been using money, or our idea of money, the illusion that we have in giving worth and value to this, you know, existence and everything in it with some sort of a dollar sign or a euro sign or whatever it is. I mean, isn't that illusion collapsing, it seems, all across the globe, whatever the monetary value is? Do you want to talk about that?
Well, it's about reminding. I mean, I think we all came here at the same time because we needed to be reminded of this, that reminded what is real and what is not real. And money is part of the illusion. It's not real. It's here for us to enjoy, but it isn't here for us to think is the all-important thing. I mean, how could something that is so temporary be real? It's not real. We can't take it with us. It's just part of this illusion to play in. And when you put so much importance on it and you hurt other people because of money, I mean, you are here to learn that money is not the end-all and be-all. And so it's part of the shift. Of course it's part of the shift. Everything is a part of the shift. Everything that is happening is a part of the shift. And it's about reawakening. It's about remembering who we are, who we really are in our essence, who we are. We are the love of God within us, and it's about remembering that. I mean, if you can think of before we come here, we're this entity that can do anything, be anywhere, go wherever we want, create whatever we want to create. We want to remember that identity in every game we play. And this game of Earth is just another game that we've thought up to play in. And we want to remember who we are when we're here. And so this is all part of this reminding, this shifting, this rebirthing that is being reflected back to us and everything that is happening around us. And so I feel like it's a privilege to be here at this time and I'm glad that I chose to be back at this time, because it's a big deal happening, and it's a big deal emotionally. And so it's really sort of fun to be a part of it.
Wow. Okay, well, we have a really packed chat room, and I think that there's somebody that's been patiently waiting to speak with you here, coming in from Skype, so I'm not really sure. You're on the air with Betsy Thompson. Go ahead. Hello? Yes, you are on. Did you have a question for Betsy? Okay. Well, you know what? I apologize, because we have a new, a new switchboard that they gave us, and I'm working out the idiosyncrasies in here, because everything looks different on the switchboard. So I apologize to the kind person that was on hold. I really hope that you will call back in and we'll get you on air with Betsy. And that being said, how about some of the other messages and some of the other things in the book that talk about the shift that's going on? Anything else that, obviously money is something that's been changing, and you talked about, obviously, there's lots of things happening with the earthquake, and things like that. But is there something else that you wanted to make sure our listeners were able to grasp and something that they can work on in the book? Because I think it's a great companion.
Well, you mean about the book and the way it is?
What's going on right now with some of the other big shifts?
Well, I don't know that I can address that exactly, except that I think that one of the important ideas in the book is about remembering that everybody comes here to live the truth that matters to them, that there is no, the only real universal truth that is universal for all of us is I am. Everything else is a personal truth. And when we come here, we come here to live the truth that we believe is going to be helping our evolution. And I think the only thing that's truth about the earth is that the earth is, because everything on the earth can change. Everything can, there can be land where there is water, there can be water where there is land, the earth can change and evolve and has through the eons and will continue to through the eons. And so it is showing you that nothing is even real for the earth. It's in a constant state of renewal. And we are in a constant state of renewal. And the truth that we believe in this lifetime may not be the truth we believe in another lifetime, but it's working for us this time. The only universal truth is that I am. And when you think that you think you have to change other people's truth because they aren't happy in the truth they have, well, they're choosing to be unhappy. They have that truth for a reason. It isn't about changing anyone else. It's about living living as you wish others would, and being who you wish others would, and being that force that you believe is the right force to be, and letting other people do what they do. You know, there is no, there may seem to you that justice is not playing out in our world, because justice doesn't always play out in the illusion. But justice plays out emotionally sooner or later. So whenever you say, well, they didn't, you know, justice wasn't played out in that idea because they didn't go to jail when they should have. Well, you know, you don't really know. We don't really know what somebody else goes through in their emotional life, and we don't know what they will move on to after they leave here. So we have no way of knowing whether justice is played out or not, because justice is an emotional journey, not a physical illusionary process. And that was a big deal for me too, really understanding that.
You know, and it is so powerful, because that idea that, you know, it gets back to what you were talking about before with the justice and the betrayal, this idea that, well, we know what is right for somebody else, and, you know, we're all in process. But the one thing that I love in the book that you talk about is really the only illusion that's not an illusion. You know, there's one thing that's not an illusion, and that's the love that we get to keep. So everything changes, you know, our family. I mean, my parents have both passed away, so they're not staying. I'm not staying. Whoever you are listening on replay or live with us, you know, none of us is staying. And the illusion that the body stays the same, money, finances, looks, things, all the stuff that's around us, even our own selves, nothing stays the same. But one thing that does remain is the love that we gave away. Talk about that, because we're coming to the end of our time, and that is so important. I think it's such a great high note, you know, to leave on, because that's something that, you know, we can all embrace today in this moment.
Yes, well, the essence within us is the creator of our experience. It's the essence that knew that this journey was really important. And, it, you know, we all have this wonderful ability to love inside of us. We all have God inside of us. We all choose whether to honor this part of ourselves or to honor the part of ourselves that is full of fear. And so this is what this whole journey is about. It's about rediscovering who we really are, you know, energy personified in form. And that's what our journey is all about. And I just wanted to mention that at the end of each chapter, there's this page of exercises, and I want to mention that because we've all heard the stories of when you die, you do a life review and you go back over and see where you loved and where you didn't see the love and where you wished you had loved more. And the end of this chapter review is like five questions that ask you to gives you like a mini review while you're living your life so that you can ask yourself, answer the questions that you are asked to answer, and it gives you an idea of how you are progressing in this journey right now, not so that you don't have to wait until you die to look at your life in a way that can be helpful to you. And so I just wanted to mention that to any listeners, that this is a part of the book that I found that has so much feedback from other people, and that it brings the ideas from the chapter into the reader's everyday life so that they can look at their own life and ask themselves, is this where I want to be? Is this what is important? Am I doing what's really important to me? Am I living the life that I really feel like I want to live? And then the chapter gives you the assistance you need to do what it is you do want to do.
Mm. You know, I'm really glad that you mentioned that, and I love the comparison with that life review, because, you know, I think we've all heard about those people that, and I I've never had that, but those near-death experiences where there's so many common threads and people see their life before them. They all, and everybody talks about the light and the choices, and it's just really, really, it just, it boggles my mind when I read about those people that have had those experiences. But I love how you said at the end of the chapter, it's just like that, isn't it? And it really does create an action, because, you know, you have the feelings, you have the thoughts, but then to put the action into it at the end of each chapter, you know, really makes it, at least for me, makes it my own. Makes
right.
it a very personal experience. And I also want to say that, you know, it's a book, but it's like each chapter is a book within the book. So you could pick it up at any time. Let's say, you know, something's going on in your life, or you're feeling a certain way, you feel like, you know, you need to get more information on something. You can pick it up, look at the chapters, see which one might apply, and just work on that, which makes it practical in a sense, you know, as well for you know, anybody that maybe is dealing with a struggle on acceptance or betrayal, or, you know, being confused or having an obstacle, so looking for those miracles and what may be an illusion of a mess might be the best thing that you ever could ask for. You know, we don't always get what we want, but we get what we need.
We always get what we need, yeah. We always get what we need, yes.
Which is true. How about how people can find you and find the book, and where do you want them to go? Can you give out some website and some links and all of that?
Yeah, they can go to www.betsythompson.com, and when they get there, I have all the links to my other sites, which are my blog, and which are Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and LinkedIn. And so they can go to www.betsythompson.com, and they can read all about the books that I have available for them to read. And I hope they visit me, and they can reach me through my email from that from my website if they want to contact me for any reason.
Which is awesome. And I also want to actually, this is just something that you had written to the reader in the beginning, but I wanted to share it with those listening. And this is what you were saying. Before the writing began, I believed in a world of rights and wrongs. I saw the picture, or the view I saw with my eyes, as the measure of my existence. When the picture was awful, I thought I was helpless to change it. Gradually, I learned that all my decisions had brought me growth in one way or another. I learned that taking responsibility for the love or the lack of love in my life was the tool through which to create a different experience. My greatest hope is that you, the reader, will sense your power from reading about these people and create the world of your desires. And I think that that's, you know, a lovely expectation that readers can anticipate getting when they read the book or connect with you, because I'm sure you have many more books in your heart that you're ready to share with us. And it brings me to a parting question. What's going on with you now, and what are you working on?
I'm working on the next book, and I'm working on getting the books that I self-published up on e-books. Love Parent, the first book I ever published, I just got up on e-books, and so that's available to people. And I'm working on getting the three more up on e-books, and also on the next book, which is going to be about Jesus's journey with including things about the lost years, the so-called lost years when he was traveling. What happened to him then? Who did he meet when he was traveling, and how did it impact him, and how did it influence him, and what did he learn about himself from the people he met? So that's what I'm working on right now, and I'm excited about it because I'm always excited about what I'm working on the moment, because it's always, you know, bringing me the help that I need in that moment. So that's what's going on.
Yeah, and something that we all need too. You know, it's great. It's great when you can share, and it's like, ah, that aha movement. Yeah, that's great. I needed that exactly when I heard it, and I don't think that people were listening today by accident. So I just want to thank you again for being with us, Betsy, and sharing your shine and helping us be our best, because there's lots of lessons for everyone, no matter what your faith, in the book, and definitely connecting with you to stay, you know, up to date on what you're doing and where you are, because I know that you're, you know, doing a lot of interviews, and you've been, you had a little blog talk lady in the background. People, they're saying, oh, well, we've only got a little bit of time here, so I have to close. But there's just so much more to learn, and we'll have to have you back on at another time, because we've run out of time today. But it's just a great message, a real a work of hope and inspiration. Really made me feel connected and very hopeful. And just thank you so much for everything that you're doing. We'll look forward to what you have coming up next. And I want to thank all the listeners. If you've enjoyed the show, don't forget you can find the replay, download it to your mobile device. Maybe you want to, you know, take Betsy with you and listen to what she had to say while you're on the treadmill or walking outside. You can download to your mobile device for free on iTunes. Just go to Best People We Know on iTunes, or just hit the icon for iTunes on BTR's homepage or on my website. And then you can also make sure that you share this with a friend so that they know about Betsy's message, and that keeps us going and growing, and we always appreciate that. So for now, I will close out with my favorite quote by Oscar Wilde: be yourself, because everybody else is already taken. Go out and make it a great day. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening
to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.